Hello and welcome to the latest episode of The Cutting Room. I'm Paul Sherwood, one of the co-founders here at 7Video. If you're new to the podcast, then welcome. Feel free to look back at some of our previous episodes. I'd like to think there's some real crackers in there. And if you've been here before, then welcome back. We've had a couple of months away, but today we are back with a bang. Today's episode is our 16th one and is all about getting more visitors to your website. And today we've got the perfect guest to talk us through that. So I'm delighted to be joined by Mr. Alex Gregory from Another Concept. Alex, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So Alex, we've known each other for a number of years now, but for our viewers and listeners out there who haven't heard of you before, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background and yeah, your journey so far with your career.
Yeah, thanks Paul. I'm Alex. I've been working in marketing for a long time now. Started off with a journalism master's, went into copywriting, went agency side, started doing SEO from there, technical outreach, and yeah, worked in a number of agency jobs, worked in-house as well, and given me a sort of good sort of breadth of experience, and now sort of as of 2023, started a digital marketing agency, Another Concept.
That nicely segues me into my next question, which is all around your current business, Another Concept. So why Another Concept and what are you guys doing?
Yeah, Another Concept was born out of a desire by me and my business partners to deliver excellent performance marketing services, to put clients first, open and honest communications, and we're offering content strategy, digital PR, technical SEO, and paid advertising. So nothing revolutionary in terms of what we're offering, but we're doing it in a way that puts clients first and gives them the best results.
Brilliant. And yeah, from your background, it sounds like you've sort of learned a lot of things across the way in terms of working agency side, in-house, and sort of bringing all that together, you know, collating all the good stuff that you've learned and leaving out some of the maybe negatives that you've seen other people do and sort of bringing that together as
that's
as
right, yeah. Yeah, it's all about putting clients first, really, and working in-house let me see that as well from the other side. So the perception of agencies, what agencies can do better, how we can improve on the current service that people are getting and providing. And that's been given me a really good insight. And yeah, we just know that there are some things that agencies do incredibly well, and there are some things that they can do better. And just having that sort of approach and keeping in the back of our minds that we're putting the client first, it's all about their performance, how they, you know, what they're getting from the agencies they engage with, putting that first is paramount.
Brilliant. And how have you found the jump going from to setting up your own business?
Yeah, there's a lot of admin, isn't there? Yeah, you'll know that yourself as well. Yeah. This is possibly just from, you know, the launch to now, we found that, you know, there's a lot of just setting up and things that you maybe take for granted when you come into an agency and start working for them or even a business. But yeah, there's been a lot of admin, a lot of setup, but ultimately it's great just being able to work on clients in a way that you feel it should be done. Focusing on the stuff that works, testing, experimenting. I think the problem with having sort of a larger agency is it's more difficult to pivot. It's more difficult to change what you're doing. So by being a smaller, more agile agency, we can offer probably a bit more of a bespoke service and a more agile offering where it doesn't have to be this one thing that we do a lot of that we're going to do as a service. It can be whatever you need. So from the start, even, you know, we try not to sort of separate into different services, and we just try and have a, you know, sort of total, you know, overview of what you're doing now and where would your money be best spent. So it's been really rewarding doing that because it gives us the opportunity to sort of get to know a company a lot better rather than just providing a sort of bolt-on service. You can give them sort of a unique insight into what they're currently doing and what they could be doing better.
Awesome. No, love that. So bringing it back to what we're here to talk about today, which is all about getting more visitors to your website. So we touched on your background there, Alex. I'm keen to start off by finding out a little bit about kind of what people were, you know, how you've seen that this concept of getting more people to your website evolve over time since you've been in the industry. So what were people doing back in the day when you first started out? What have you seen happen throughout and what are you seeing in the present day? So yeah, just tell me a little bit about how you've seen that evolve in how people are getting more visitors to the website.
Yeah, ultimately a lot hasn't changed. So if from a kind of SEO point of view, an organic search point of view, people used to do a lot of kind of link building. People used to spend a lot of time on technical. There were a lot of CMS and websites that kind of just weren't optimized for SEO. Now you find that a lot of the kind of technical stuff is baked in. That being said, there's still kind of a lot you can do in terms of architecture and improvements. But even if you go back 10 years ago, people were looking for shortcuts, looking for ways they could maybe game the algorithm. People are still doing that now, unfortunately. But there seems to be more of a drive. Socials appeared, you know, so you kind of have to factor that in as well. How are people using social to sort of supplement their marketing strategy? There probably just are a lot more channels now, sort of digital channels, than there ever used to be. So in terms of how it's changed, I think the fact that you can set up a website using, you know, a software as a service platform and you know, without a developer, you can launch tomorrow with your new business and branding. That gives people a lot more headspace to think about the things that matter. So the content people are creating, how they're perceived, the messaging, you know, the different channels that they're using. So I think it's great because it frees up a lot of time that would have otherwise been spent on quite time-consuming technical tasks, development, things like that. So from a marketer's point of view, it's been great seeing that evolve over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting what you said there about shortcuts. You know, everybody seems to love a shortcut, a hack, a life hack, a business hack, whatever they want to call it. And I think, yeah, it's understanding, I guess, what people can be doing themselves and when they need to be bringing in experts and whatnot. So bringing it back to sort of present day, like what should people be doing? Forgetting about shortcuts, hacks, all that type of stuff. What should people be doing to genuinely get more visitors to the website?
I think for marketers and businesses, it's really important to have a marketing plan and understand who your customers are, understand your own value proposition, understand who your personas are. Who are the people who are using your services or buying your products? Try and sort of develop those out and make sure everyone in the company totally understands who those people are. It's no point saying, we like doing this thing. We've always done this thing, but it's important to understand if your personas, if it's resonating with them ultimately. You know, is that what they want to read about? Is that how they like to be engaged with? So
just on personas as well, where do you sit with... How specific do you get or when you're working with clients in terms of personas? Because I've seen quite a broad range of people getting real sort of granular in terms of, like, you know, giving them names and all this. Like, what's your sort of process around that?
Yeah, I think it's important to group them into something that's logical and ties back to either order size or, you know, how much are they going to spend with you? Are they kind of short-term customers and clients? If so, it's important to have a strategy for that. Are they long-term clients? Therefore, it's important to have probably a different strategy for that. Someone with a large lifetime value, for example, is going to give you the flexibility to probably spend more in acquiring them or gaining trust with them. So, I think it's just important to group them somewhat into something that ties back to your bottom line or the type of customer they are. But ultimately, it's good to have a range of people within each section just so that you know what sort of demographics they are, where they're located, how they like to be talked to, because the same thing won't resonate with everybody in that group. So, yeah, it's probably just important to be sort of logical with it. But yeah, you ultimately want to communicate it around your business as well. So it needs to be digestible for people within the business to understand. So there's no point creating reams and reams of, you know, paperwork for them to read through, because it probably won't be understood.
Okay, so you've got your marketing plan. You've got an idea of your audience, you know, where they are, how to speak to the different sort of personas within that. In terms of physically attracting more people to your website, is there any, what sort of conversations are you having with clients in helping them to get more people to the website once they've put all those foundations in place?
Yeah, so we'd often, the next step would be understanding which channels to engage people in. And that's where it's important to be informed by a marketing manager or an MD or whoever's we're engaging with. You know, what's worked in the past, what hasn't worked, why is that? And I think before you engage with any sort of agency, it's good to have a really good understanding of that. They might just, once they've done their review, say, well, actually, you could be doing that in a bit of a different way. You could be sort of using different messaging. You could be taking a slightly different approach to that. And therefore, we'd probably just audit what they've done in the past as well, and try and bring together all those different pieces before deciding what is going to get you the best value for money. If it's advertising, great. You know, let's look at how we can engage people on that front. But a content strategy is always really important as well, because you can use it over multiple different channels, and it brings people to your website, and that kind of satisfies a different part of their journey. So once you've engaged them through one channel, how can you tell your story when they're on the website? How can you deliver your message in the most succinct way to get them to understand and gain trust with who you are as a business? So yeah, we will take people through that journey, but it's always good if somebody engages with us when they've got a really clear understanding of what their sort of value proposition is, what their offering is, and who their target personas are.
I'm guessing that's not always the case though.
It's not always the case, no. And we're happy to work with people on that stuff, because, you know, from my experience in-house as a marketing manager, I found that stuff really interesting as well. But then, yeah, it's ultimately about sort of giving some direction to how can you get the best ROI? How can we maybe start small, test, try different things, and then how can we sort of develop on that? How can we therefore sort of slim down the number of channels you're using, and maybe just focus on the ones that are providing the best return or resonating the best with your target audience.
Okay. No, that sounds good. So you've got the marketing plan, you've got your personas nailed down, you've got your content plan, content strategy, you've determined the sort of different channels of where your particular audience is. Now I want to sort of just delve into a little bit more about what, say, a marketing manager in a company. So there's going to be certain elements that they can implement themselves and certain elements that they're going to need to bring in experts like yourself and other agencies. So bringing it back to that marketing manager or that marketing department in that business, well, now they've got all those things in place, what types of things can they be implementing and doing themselves to start seeing and improving results in terms of getting more people to the site?
Yeah, I'd always recommend spending a lot of time just understanding who their customers are. So that's something that can take a lot of time, you know, understanding whether the brand is on point. Is it resonating with their target customers? Are you telling the right story on your website as well? I always feel sometimes when you speak to people in a business, they can communicate exactly who they are as a business, what their offering is, who their target customers are incredibly well, but it doesn't always translate to the website. So I think before you go ahead and sort of make a website, it's always a good idea to understand the messaging and what you're trying to say first. And that can take a lot of time. So and it's just about communicating it in the most succinct way as well, because people often don't spend a lot of time on a website, particularly if they're looking for services or going to make a purchase. You need to communicate your values as a company as quickly as possible, really, before they lose interest or you know, get lost in kind of other things. So Yeah, I'd say getting that messaging and brand is really important. And then, like we talked about before, just understanding who your personas are, what your proposition is, and making sure you get that across in the best way possible. And, you know, imagery super important, video super important. It's not always about content in the written form, you know, because that can take a long time for people to understand and digest. And they're probably not going to do that if they don't trust you as a business first. So actually, yeah, imagery and video can communicate that very quickly. So is that part of the marketing mix already? Before you engage with an agency on a kind of customer acquisition level, have you got all the messaging online already? Are you saying the right thing? Because there's no point driving lots of people to the website if it's not fit for purpose, if the call to actions aren't right, if, you know, the messaging's not there. So, you know, that's an additional consideration we like to go through with clients as well, just whether if we drive all this traffic to the website, is it going to convert?
Which is the most important thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. It is, yeah. And it's not, we don't do development. It's not something we kind of get involved in. So that's something that a marketing manager can spend a lot of time just making sure is right. You know, even if nobody's coming and visiting the website yet, they can make sure that that sort of shop front, if you like, is just exactly how it needs to be. And then that just makes it smoother when we do start driving people to the website, because then it's a much easier conversation to have 12 months down the line when we're discussing performance and doing a retrospective. If your conversion rate's high and people who are driving to the site are converting, then it's a much easier conversation to have about the next steps and how we sort of take things to the next level. If there's a big gap there because we've got people coming to the site and not converting or not understanding the brand, you almost have to go full circle. It's a bit back to the drawing board.
I think it's a good point you mentioned on messaging as well, you know, particularly on websites. You know, we have the same thing with video, where let's take a company sort of brand video as an example. And one thing that clients used to do is very much focus on themselves. We've been going for X amount of years. We do this. We've got X amount of sites, and it just doesn't really resonate with audiences anymore in terms of it's what's in it for them. And I guess I'm presuming that's the same in terms of your messaging on your website and your social channels as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Although there's a lot to be said for sort of history and heritage and that sort of thing, and that can win you trust to some degree. People will often find that information on the About Us, for example. And yeah, that's why it's really important to not forget that history and heritage, but also just sort of tie it back to what can we offer you right now as a customer, as a client, you know, what can we provide for you? So yeah, I think that's really important, that messaging, because especially working in-house, when you're not talking to lots of different companies, you can talk about your own a lot, because you will, that's inevitably what you're going to do when you're talking to your colleagues or your boss, or, you know. So trying to translate that offering to the outside world and deliver it in a really succinct fashion is difficult. You know, it's more difficult to use fewer words. So yeah, that's why it takes some time to get right.
Yeah. No, agree. But when done right, it's, you know, you're onto a winner there.
Mm.
So no, that's been really useful. In terms of, I guess, how video falls into whether it's getting people to the website, converting leads from the website. Oh, yeah, I was just keen to get your take on how you've leveraged video in the past in terms of all of that, and what your thoughts are in how that helps with that sort of customer acquisition process.
Yeah, I think it's a really powerful tool, and especially for higher value services or products, I think it can be really powerful. I've used it a lot in the past, in-house and agency side. I've worked with companies who've used it to great effect as well. It's a fantastic way of converting people, winning trust. So if there's a more considered purchase that might have a few more steps to conversion, you know, it's not low value. So it's not something where you're just going to look around for the cheapest thing and buy it straight away. It's going to take a few steps in order to decide whether you're going to purchase that thing or service. It's really useful. So, worked with an e-commerce company a few years ago who did it really well. They were selling the same thing that kind of a lot of ironmongers were selling, but they kind of grouped a lot of the things. So the door handles, the hardware, you know, the light fittings, whatever else it is, they grouped it together and they use video to show you how you could, how it could look in situ, different style ideas, design ideas. And they were selling it for maybe five times as much as other places, but because they sort of grouped it together and sold it and built that brand, I guess, people were buying into the brand. So it's all about how you present it, and they converted very highly. So, you know, people are coming to the site, you know, they see that it's a bit expensive, but they might sort of, once they view the video, they might see the value in actually spending a little bit more in order to, you know, it looks nicer, you know, it fits with other things in your house or apartment. It just builds that sort of brand reputation, and they did a really good job of it. And that then gets you away from just being a company that sells a lots of different things, competing with other companies that sell the same thing. And ultimately it's going to be whoever offers the lowest price sells the item. So to get away from that and to add value, you need to sort of explain why this is a better product than this one. Is it, you know, the presentation? Is it, you know, how it fits into your lifestyle as a person? You know, going back to that sort of persona of who you're speaking to, you might not be just looking for people who are looking for the cheapest thing. They might be people who like more luxurious items, or, you know, higher value items. They're on higher salaries, so they're not really thinking about, you know, saving money per se. It might even be specifiers for big flats and apartment blocks. So in order for them to sell something at a higher price, a luxury flat, for example, they're going to need luxury items in there. So you need to do something to convince them that this is a better product than the one that looks a bit similar on another website. So yeah, I think it's a very powerful tool, and video engages people a lot quicker. So even on kind of social platforms, you've got that 2 seconds in order to capture somebody's attention before they sort of scroll off or click off somewhere else. And it's much easier to engage people with video, and the stats kind of reflect that as well. But yeah, for a lot of people, it's kind of that, you know, it's an investment. They have to find the headspace in order to think about what their message is, how they're going to deliver it, and what they're saying, which is why it's important to spend time on that.
So to bring it back to conversion that you mentioned there, it's one thing we're hearing a lot, or being asked a lot about at the moment, around video case studies for websites. Now, it's probably more suited to the B2B or to our B2B clients, which is where we predominantly sort of work with here at Seven, generally speaking. I'm sure it's always been a focus for businesses, you know, as long as they've existed, but it seems as a real focus in terms of converting leads just in the current sort of business world, in terms of, I don't know if there's just less leads out there or the way things are, but it certainly seems from our perspective, there's a much greater focus on converting leads. And that's why we're being asked about the likes of video case studies and things like that. Is that something you're seeing in your world too?
Yeah, they're really effective. People buy from people, don't they? And I think it's really difficult to convey who you are or as a company with whatever service you're delivering or whatever thing you're selling if you're not using some sort of imagery or video. So the tone of voice is important. The messaging is important. But ultimately, that's much easier to deliver face-to-face or via video. It's, you know, for case studies, it's super powerful because you can say a lot more in 2 minutes of someone's time via video and via, than you can do via other formats, I guess. You can get that message to someone a lot quicker. So yeah, for case studies, it's brilliant. I think it's a really effective tool for that.
Yeah, brilliant. And I think there's a topic that we've kind of touched on, but not quite got into, that, you know, your opinion and whatnot. I've got an idea with you being from a copywriting background, and that's all to do with AI and the impacts that you're seeing that that's having in terms of both SEO and content creation.
Yeah, so it's a very hot topic across many industries now, but in terms of SEO and ad platforms, it's been there for a long time, you know, so AI has been a big part of, you know, Google's core offering and Microsoft as well. Certainly from the ads world, you know, in terms of their machine learning technologies and optimizing ad campaigns, they've been using it for a long time. Marketers have started to get on board with ChatGPT and other things. So yeah, as a company, we're leaning into AI for technical tasks and passing that saving on to clients ultimately. If we can spend a few less hours in spreadsheets and you know, from on those technical tasks specifically, and deliver the same or better quality work, we can then use that time for other areas. So areas where it doesn't work so well, content writing. So people who have been using ChatGPT for content writing might be seeing that some of the initial gains they got in search engines is kind of rolling back now. So we've never used AI for content writing, just purely because we don't think it's as good. And I think if people reviewed the content that they made with ChatGPT, they'd probably agree. You know, ultimately it comes down to providing the best answer, you know, providing the best content you can for people. And for some things, you know, for some maybe technical elements, there might be some use cases there. But ultimately Google now is trying to detect AI content and they're trying to remove less valuable content. So there is some crossover there. It's if you're not providing value to people, then it's not going to reward you as a website or a business. So we've seen a lot of people just sort of losing performance. And equally, that goes for people who are writing content as well. So you've got people using tools that, you know, help with their written word, their language, their grammar. That could be, kind of construed as AI content as far as Google's concerned, because it's not original. There aren't the same sort of errors in copy that people naturally make, you know, when they're writing it from scratch. Ultimately, like we always have always said, just provide the best answer for people and provide good information for people. And inevitably, that hasn't involved using AI.
We're also chatting off air as well about some like horror stories you were sort of sharing about companies that have sort of got rid of their whole content teams and you've moved it all to ChatGPT, and then now those sites have lost all their ranking.
Yeah. Well, the last core update in March, I think Google said it wanted to remove 40% of websites who are offering low value spam, a lot of it AI generated content. And you're seeing a lot of websites disappear. There's a lot of websites who create good content who have been caught up in that as well. It should probably add that too. But it's a shame. But ultimately, a content strategy needs to be well thought out. It needs to be executed in the right way. And a lot of the time that we deliver proposals, like certainly in the past, we found that within a client's budget, they might only be able to deal with some of the priority one and two tasks, you know, from a technical perspective, fix those, but they don't have the time to sort of spend on that wider content strategy in terms of delivering that value to their end users. So it's great that we can reduce that sort of that technical time now and spend more time on the content strategy, because ultimately that, if executed properly, can bring in a lot more users to the website, can bring in customers. So yeah, it gives us, I guess AI, when used in the right way, can mean we can spend more time on doing the things that offer value. So, you know, we're trying to leverage it in the best way we can, but it's just being mindful as well, you know, is this delivering, you know, good answers? Is it good content for people? You know, it's worth just always asking yourself that and not thinking, being user-centric, not search engine-centric, so.
Yeah, no, I completely agree in terms, you know, I share a very similar opinion in regards to how AI can and should be used kind of within businesses. And, you know, from my perspective, I find it really quite obvious something in a lot of occasions to be able to tell that something's being written, say, using ChatGPT or whatnot, and it kind of instantly just puts me off reading and engaging with it. But, you know, as a company here at Seven as well, we use AI quite a lot, particularly in our sort of process side of things to save time, like you mentioned there as well. So, no, that's been really useful. So as we kind of get to the end of the podcast, Alex, I've just got a couple of quick questions to cover off, if you don't mind. So firstly, is all around what you think the future looks like. And secondly, is the kind of one key takeaway for our audience to sort of go away and sort of action on the back of listening to our ramblings. So first of all, what does the future look like to you? Very broad question, I appreciate, but tell me what you think.
Well, the future's very exciting, yeah. From a marketing point of view, we've got all of these amazing tools that we now have at our disposal. And I think it frees up a lot of time. So I think that's the important thing. Rather than thinking, is AI coming for my job? Just think, how can we improve on what we're doing? How can we spend more time on the things that are maybe creative or offer value, and less time on the things that take, you know, just sort of absorb your time, the sort of day-to-day? How can I be more efficient? How can I deliver more? And that goes for people working in-house as marketing managers, in terms of being more efficient with, you know, time management and you know, being able to spend more time on strategy. But it also goes for kind of agencies as well, and how can we provide a better service and at a better rate? Because ultimately, the agencies who do it well and get that balance right in terms of leveraging these new tools, these amazing new technologies, and passing that value on and deliver and being able to provide more value for their clients, they're going to be the ones that do better. Be interesting to see whether for agencies, we've maybe seen the end of kind of 200 people in an agency kind of delivering services or not. You know, that it might be the case that we just use this new technology as building blocks to do the next thing. So I guess people, when you talk about content strategies, they will often talk about budget constraints. And I guess that's the same in your industry as well. You know, you might ask people, why haven't they got any video on the site? And they say, well, we haven't got the budget. I mean, all of this new technology could make you more efficient in order to free up time and money for the things that you haven't been able to do in the past. So I think it's really exciting from that point of view. What can we achieve now? How can we go further with our marketing efforts? How can we be more creative? How can we offer better answers? And ultimately, it's an exciting time.
Definitely. And in terms of, I guess, Google and search and the technologies out there, I know it's probably hard to predict what, you know, where Google are going and what that's going to look like. But you've probably got a better idea than me, so I'm going to ask the question. So, yeah, in terms of like the technology side of things, I know that's kind of your background. Like, what do you see? Obviously, AI kind of aside, although I know that's quite a big part of it, what other kind of things do you see affecting search over the next few years?
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, we've seen a huge shift in probably the last 5 to 10 years of people going from desktop to mobile, for example. So if you've got a client who is in position 10 for a target keyword, you know, you might have just engaged with them and they're saying, okay, I'm in position 10. That all of a sudden becomes a lot worse on mobile because it's very far down. You've got ads in the way, you've got imagery, you've got video, you've got news, you've got people also ask questions that Google are providing. So in terms of real estate, you're being pushed further and further down. So it makes it more important to perform well and make sure you're higher up than you were before. But then it's also important to understand how you can leverage those other items. So can you appear in images? Can you appear in answering questions? And that should formulate part of your content strategy, not just what people are searching for in terms of your commercial terms, but what are they asking around that term? What are they doing in that sort of investigative part in terms of that discovery piece? What sort of questions are they answering and how can you answer those? Another really important thing is just non-keyword traffic. So in the last few years, we've seen just huge upshots in people using Discover non-keyword feeds. So these involve through the Google app or Chrome, you know, you've got these feeds where Google is rewarding publishers of content that they like in these feeds. And we've seen a lot of traffic move from social, for example, to these feeds. So how can we optimize for those? How can we, I mean, you know, having a great content strategy helps because then you can appear in these feeds and just get access to kind of millions of users that you wouldn't have before. And it doesn't rely on keywords. It relies on great content. So, you know, we're seeing some websites that now is just such a huge proportion of people who are visiting the website. It's just via these content pieces, these news pieces, these video articles that they're creating. So that's another really important thing to bear in mind. It's not just keyword orientated anymore. You know, there's so many other things you need to think about, especially with so many people using mobile.
And it's giving your audience what they want. Going back to kind of, you know, one of the overarching themes of this whole conversation really has been around creating good content for the right people in its simplest form. And I guess things can be overcomplicated in terms of different technologies and whatnot, but as long as you're creating content for the right people and your right audience that hits the notes that, you know, that generates interest in them, then you're going to go a long way.
Yeah, that's it. You know, especially when it comes to, you know, trust, that's really important for anyone who's buying anything from anyone. You need to build that trust, and, you know, how can you communicate that to the people who could be future customers or clients, you know, and just creating content that they feel is useful, original, creative, valuable. It's important to just keep them at the heart of everything you do. And that goes for people working in-house, for businesses, and for agencies as well. You know, just keep your clients and customers at the heart of everything you do and provide them with value, and you can't go too far wrong then. Yeah, I think that's really important.
Brilliant. I think that is the perfect place to end that in terms of that finishing sort of bit about creating that original content. So, Alex, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
I've had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to you for watching and listening. Hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Feel free to like, subscribe, and all that fun stuff. And we look forward to seeing you next time in the Cutting Room. We'll be right back.